وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك and جزاك الله خيرا حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب for all your beautiful duas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choices, blessings on you and your family. آمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تسألوا عن أشياء إن تبد لكم تسؤكم. وإذا قال الله تعالى وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واركعوا مع الراكعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio and Ansar International, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we bring to you a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives the glad tidings of paradise and Jannah against the tenets of Islam. So it has been related by Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala that we had been forbidden from asking questions from the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a genuine need. So it therefore made us happy when some intelligent Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and inquired from him about something, and we listened. And on one of those days, a Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, O Muhammad, your envoy, your preacher came to us and told us that Allah has raised you up as his messenger. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, he told you the truth. So the Bedouin said, tell me who created the heavens? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Allah. He then asked, who created the earth? And the same reply came again, Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. The Bedouin then asked, who raised the mountains on earth and made what is contained in them? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Allah. Thereupon the Bedouin questioner said, by the being who created the heavens and the earth and raised the mountains, has the same Allah sent you as his messenger? Of course, replied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has sent me as his messenger. Then the Bedouin said, your envoy also told us that five times salah are enjoined for the day and night. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remarked, this too is correct. Then the Bedouin said, by the one who raised you up, has the same Allah given you the command for those prayers? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, yes, it is the command of Allah. Then the Bedouin again said, and your envoy also told us that the zakah is prescribed on our wealth. So this too is correct, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied. So the Bedouin thereupon inquired, by the being who sent you, has the same Allah commanded you to do it? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, yes, it is the command of Allah. Then the Bedouin said, has fasting been prescribed yearly during the month of Ramadan? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, this too is correct. So the Bedouin said, by the being who sent you, had the same Allah commanded you to do it also? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, yes. So it is a command of Allah. Then the Bedouin further said, your preacher told us that the pilgrimage to the house of Kaaba is prescribed to those of us who possess the means to undertake the journey to Makkah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, this too, you know, he said correctly. So the Bedouin left after the completion of these questions and answers. And while departing, he remarked, by the being who raised you up with truth, I will neither make an addition to them nor a subtraction. Upon it, the Rasulullah ﷺ observed, if this bondsman is truthful, he shall go to Jannah. Because he's speaking about disseminating the truth that he had heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the opening remark in the above sunnah, the hadith, is about the prohibition of questions pertaining to the Quranic verse, which reads, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tas'alu an ashya'a in tubdalakum tasu'ukum. O you who believe, ask not of things if they were made known unto you would trouble you. So it's natural for man to be inquisitive. So but if he's allowed to indulge freely in the habit, he tends to make, you know, minute distinctions in argument, and the corresponding weakening of the capacity for action takes place. So he's too busy asking questions and doesn't practice much. So much time is also wasted in it. So one must understand, you know, sometimes it's a futility of a question, and sometimes it's an important question. Another harm in asking too many questions from the Prophet of the day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that his replies often lead to an expansion of the duties of the Ummah. I mean, we know just so much, but then we ask more, and the Surah Park sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes, and yes, and yes, then greater responsibility would come on us. The companions too were therefore forbidden from putting unnecessary questions forward. So they avoided being needlessly inquisitive after the command was given to them, and wish for some Bedouin to come and ask from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so that they could also get a closer chance to listen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was greatly indulgent towards this poor Bedouin, and he allowed them many liberties. In another version of the above hadith, it is also related by Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala, that the Bedouin were very bold in putting questions to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and asked from him whatever they like. They were very straightforward. So from Sahih Bukhari, we learn further that while leaving, the Bedouin had disclosed that my name is Damam bin Tha'labah, and I belong to the tribe of Bani Sa'ad, and I have come here as a representative of my people. In Bukhari Sharif, again it is mentioned that the Bedouin had made plain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on coming that I want to ask a few questions, but my attitude will be rough and severe. Will you not be angry? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied and permitted him to ask whatever pleased him. So the department, this Bedouin, when he departed from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then his words were, La azidu alayhinna wa la anqusu minhunna. I will make neither an addition to what you have told me, nor a subtraction in them. And it signified that he would abide strictly by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teachings and make no alteration to them of his own choice or of his own inclination. It could also mean that he would convey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's message to his people without making any changes. Another report of the above incident has that the Bedouin took to the preaching of Islam most enthusiastically on his return, and delivered such forceful speeches against idolatry that some of his relatives, they admonished him. And they said, Oh, Damam, fear leprosy and insanity, lest you become a leper or a lunatic by opposing the gods. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however, blessed Damam's efforts so bountifully that those who were warning him against leprosy and lunacy in the morning became great and ardent upholders of monotheism in the evening, and not a single person was left in the tribe of Bani Sa'ad who had not embraced Islam. Here you find that the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, even they be Bedouins, when they learned something from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they immediately went to go and convey that message, and the effect that it had on their family and the bondsman was that they were involved in idolatry. But after listening to this hadith, you know, they accepted the beautiful deen of Islam. So we must also follow in this very, very same footsteps, that the little that we know, we must convey to others. Then another hadith, Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala relates that the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was in a journey when a Bedouin came and stood in front of him, and taking the reins of his camel in his hand, he said, you know, like very roughly, he said, Oh, Messenger of Allah, tell me something that will take me close to heaven and far from the fire of hell. Well, what a beautiful question he put, and what a beautiful answer from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, may Allah reward this Bedouin for asking this question. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped, pulled up the reins of his camel in order to reply, turned towards the companions, and by drawing their attention also, and he observed, he said he has received the right guidance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said to the bidon's questioner, "Say again what you asked." So the bidon repeated the question. So the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thereupon replied, "Continue to worship Allah and do not associate anyone." Okay, this is the most important teaching for any believer, for any mu'min, you know. And all the other religions have floundered. They've gone into the wrong direction because they've associated a partner to Allah, or they believe in other deities besides Allah. So our teaching to us by our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, continue to worship Allah and do not associate anyone with him. So what a beautiful teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in any way, and then he said, and continue to offer salat. So an emphasis was always placed on salah by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to pay zakah and join ties of relationship. So don't we all want to get closer to Allah, closer to Jannah, and far away from Jahannam? So join ties of relationship. So in completing his reply, the Bedouin said to the Rasulullah sallam spoke to the Bedouin, and he told him, "Now leave the reins of my camel." So in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned only the worship of one Allah, the observance of prayer, the payment of zakat, and joining of family ties of relationship. These are capable of taking one close to heaven and far from hell, and left out even the discussion of fasting and Hajj. But it doesn't mean that these four acts are enough and all the other obligatory duties are unnecessary. To interpret Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying in such a narrow and rigid manner is to, you know, is to betray, you know what I mean, what they actually the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are. So we must always bear in mind that, you know, a loving teacher like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an earnest benefactor of the ummah. No, he wasn't a writer or a philosopher, you know, that they will go and elucidate on a point and, you know, go into a lot of details and discussions. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was simple in his approach, and he gave answers to the need he felt was important at that particular time. Right? So if fasting and Hajj were not included in this hadith, it doesn't mean because the questioner at that time needed it's not necessary. He needed to be particularly informed and persuaded about the four tenets that were stressed in it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, gives us inspiration to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because what happens is these four things people tend to be negligent about it. Establishing of salat, payment of zakat, the fulfillment of the rights of our families and relations, and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and today also we'll find that there are a lot of people who are default, you know, or those who fast and they go for Hajj, but they are defaulters of Salah, you know, and maybe they don't even give Zakah properly, you know. So such persons will be very few who may be particular about Salat and Zakat and the rights of their kinsmen. And they not only observe fast of Ramadan, but they perform Hajj also. So now these four things have been mentioned, you know, and it gives us the importance that the other two are in its place, but these four things are also important. So, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a very, very kind prophet, and, you know, he was riding on a she camel, and, you know, his journey must have been for a religious purpose, and a total stranger, a Bedouin, comes up to him, holds the reins of his camel and puts some questions bluntly to him, you know. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't get angry at all at the Bedouin's unrefined behavior. He appreciates his religious keenness, and then he even says he has been rightly guided, and then he gives the opportunity to the listeners, the companions, when he asks the Bedouin to ask a question again. He tells the Bedouin so that the Sahaba can listen to that question again, and then he gives a beautiful reply. And if politely says in the end, "Well, now leave the reins of my camel." Sallallahu ta'ala ala khairi khalqihi Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sallam. So the questioner was a nomad. The answerer was none other than the beloved Rasul of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to make amal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.